Tampa MX Network production.
A cerebral and experienced look into the racing action from the week that was. This is Industry Seating with Jason Thomas. Presented by Pirelli Tires, Guts Racing, Plum Creek Funding, Pro Glow Wash, Works Connection, Bass Foundry, TL Speed Shop, Concept Coatings Design Co., Grandstone Boots, and Fly Racing.
Welcome to the Industry Seating Podcast. I am Jason Thomas, and it is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024, and we're almost the Ides of March, which are March 15th all the time. I can't remember the significance of that. I know this. But yeah, obviously the Ides of March are a significant day throughout the course of history. And in between the Birmingham and Indianapolis rounds of Monster Energy Supercross. And what did we see in Birmingham? We saw a lot of rain on Friday. I can tell you that. I was at the hotel and there wasn't really much to do. They canceled press day, went over to the track for a while. We had some television meetings and whatnot, but it was really, really nasty outside. I'm talking like raining sideways. The track was completely underwater. So I'm shocked at how good the racetrack was on Saturday. Those guys, the SMX track crew, they are no longer referred to as Dirtworks. They are the SMX track crew. They're miracle workers, man. That was incredible, the turnaround job that they did on that racetrack. And was it muddy in practice? Sure. Okay. But was it awesome and like a really strong racetrack at night? And you can talk about the layout. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about what they did with the dirt. That was an A-plus job. So kudos to them. They continue to amaze me every time they get an opportunity like that. And yes, did we have San Francisco? Did we have San Diego? We did. And if it's going to pour down rain in the middle of the race, there's nothing they can do about that. You know it. I know it. But when they have an opportunity and it's not raining, they can perform miracles. I've seen enough where I am convinced that they are true experts at what they do. So good job by them. Before we talk about the 250 class, let's thank the sponsors of this podcast. Thank you to Pirelli Tires, Guts Racing, Plum Creek Funding, Concept Coatings Design Co. Check out their promo code CONCEPT10. Save you some money. Works Connection, brand new products for the Stark Varg. Check those out. They have all new products for the 2024 Kawasaki. They have 2024 Yamaha products. They have a brand new purple Pro Launch Stark device that just came out today that matches those throwback Yamahas. So purple Pro Launch Stark device, if you want to check that out. Pro Glow Wash, TL Speed Shop, Grant Stone Boots, and Fly Racing. Thank you to all of them. 250 class, what do we see? What happened? Well, I'll tell you what, Tom Bial's on a roll here. And I feel like I am the voice of reason sometimes about everything. But in this case, I am the only one that's saying like, hey, let's pump the brakes. Everybody slow down, because there's a lot of hype out there about Tom Bial. I'm not saying that it's unwarranted. He deserves credit. He's won two races in a row. He's got the red plate. Don't let my hesitation get in the way of the things he's accomplished. That's not what I'm hoping to accomplish here either. I'm just saying that the last two races are not prototypical Supercross, okay? We didn't have real like blitzer whoops at either round. We had really strange conditions in Daytona. And then we had this kind of toned down Supercross, like almost like an amateur Supercross track that was incredibly ruddy and slow in Birmingham. So to try to draw conclusions and say that he's got Supercross figured out and here we go, like he's off to the races, he's the next Jean-Michel Bale, I'm not there. And that doesn't mean I won't be wrong in the end. Like that is absolutely possible. I am acutely aware that that is possible in this scenario, that I could be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. I've been wrong several times today. But I just don't want to get carried away. because I know what I'm watching, and I know that this track, these two tracks, are not what Supercross really is. You know, Birmingham wasn't at all. There weren't whoops at all. The rhythm sections were slow and ruddy, and it was just a different type of race, and that's okay. His bonus checks are still going to clear. He still has a red plate. You know, Daytona, same thing. But let's just wait and see. That's all I'm saying. Let's just wait and see what happens in Indianapolis, which will also be probably soft and ruddy. So maybe it's more of the same, and that's okay. I'm not trying to rain on Tom Vial's parade. He's always been incredibly nice to me. I've watched him probably for longer than most of you have, because I've been going to these MXGP races for 6 years now. And I've been watching them for longer than that before. Just pump the brakes. That's all I'm saying. Cameron McAdoo, that is 3 third places in a row. So he has 1 15th place and then 3 seconds. That's it? That's it, 3 second place in a row. I hope so. But anyway, he's been really good. And he didn't win his 4th heat race in a row, but he did get second in the heat after, holy crap, what a crash with Romano. But he wasn't going to win the heat anyway, probably. Cody Schock was really solid and had a pretty big lead. So I'm really impressed with what I've seen from McAdoo. He's 1 point out of the championship lead. He's hanging right in there. He's been wildly consistent, which is, if you know anything about Cameron McAdoo, those two words have not been used very often together, consistent and McAdoo. But he's doing it. He is putting these results together, putting a really nice championship together. And he and the next rider I'm going to mention are two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. You know, if you want to cheer for the role model, the really nice guy, the person that would talk to you and give you the time of day, he's not a punk. He and Seth Hamaker, who the next rider I'm going to talk about, are those two guys. They are absolutely them. And that's my type of person I like to cheer for. I don't know about you. Some people like the brash, rowdy, dirty rider, aggressive, outlandish personality. Like, I get that. I understand it. It is a thing, right? That's why people have preferences. And that's why Hayden Deegan's following is so big, and Weston Pike. And that is fine. It's just not my thing. So I like guys like Cameron McAdoo and Hamaker. Kind, down to earth, patient, say the right thing, do the right thing. So I tend to cheer for them. You know, I'm not really supposed to cheer for anybody. I get it. But deep down, I have my personal favorites, and I like those two guys a lot. And you could say Tom Vial is the same. No question. Tom Vial is in that same category. Max Anstey's in that same category. I just don't really know Tom Vial as well, right? He's French, so communication's not as easy. These are all really solid 250 riders that you could really cheer for, and I would not bat an eye. I would say, yeah, have at it. Buy their t-shirt. Wear their merchandise. They're great people to cheer for and be on their team. Max Anstey, as I mentioned, man, that's brutal. Now, was he going to win the race? Of course not. But for his bike to expire there, engine let go, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's probably out of the championship. I was trying to breathe some enthusiasm and optimism back into him. He wasn't having that at all, as you could tell, and I don't blame him. But I have to give him a lot of credit. He handled that situation much better than I would have. When I was racing, I was a hothead. I didn't keep my composure all that well. I let emotions run amok far too often. So when I see someone like Max Anstey handle that much emotion and pain and devastation and disappointment with that much composure and class, it's impressive to me, because I had a really difficult time with that stuff. And I've gotten older and more mature, so I'm better at it these days. But I know myself, and I know how I would have been in that moment. It would not have been pretty. I would not have wanted a television camera put in my face. So when I am tasked with putting one in his face, and he handles with dignity, I appreciate it, and I recognize it. So thank you to Max Anstey, and man, what a tough break. I guess now you just hope you can go out and get a race win, right? Pressure's off. Just drop the freaking hammer, man. Like, let it rip. And let's see what that guy can do. Hayden Deegan, I don't know that it's ever taken me this long to get to Hayden Deegan in a rundown like this, but there's a lot of noise around Hayden Deegan right now. You know, you look at the crashes and you look at the first turn drama, which it certainly wasn't all his fault. You know, Hamaker was at fault some too. But the way he handled that wasn't ideal. And going over to his truck and yelling wasn't ideal. I've done that many times myself, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite here. But it wasn't ideal, nor was what I would have done ideal. He got fined for, you know, going over and causing a ruckus. And then the crash or the contact with Cody Shock on the last lap, probably not ideal either, you know. Now, had Cody Shock not injured himself, I don't think it's a big deal. You know, I don't think there's many people saying too much about it. But when he does injure himself and you look back at the crash and you're like, well, did Hayden really need to make that move the way he did? Did he need to make contact because he had the inside kind of covered? I think he could have, you know, paced Cody Shock through the turn and made sure that he had the pass made. You know, in 10 years, he'll probably look at that pass differently. He'll probably handle the situations all the way around differently, from Hamaker to all of it, you know. But he's not. He's 18 years old, and he's lived a different life than any of us have. You know, in the spotlight, social media superstar. I can't put myself in his shoes and say I would handle things correctly, or I don't have the perspective of things that he does. So I'm not giving him a pass. I'm not. I do think, you know, if I was his father, if I was someone he listened to for guidance, I would say, okay, what did we learn from this situation? What could we have done differently? Because when we face this again, and we will, right? If you look at Hayden's career trajectory, he will face these things again. How will we handle it differently? How will we keep control of our emotions, our composure, not let it affect our race, you know, in the main event, and kind of learn to discern, right? You channel things that are important, and the things that you can't control or that are not positive, you just flush them, let them go, because it's race day and you've got a job to do, and you don't have time to be worked up and yelling at people and all worried about something else. Like, you have to get back out there and go get championship points, because you're tasked with winning this championship, period. End of story. Anything that is not going to help you win this championship should immediately be discarded. I know that sounds black and white and really easy to do, but tell me where I'm wrong. Like, tell me why that's not true, right? Anything that's in the way, anything that's not driving you towards a championship should be left by the wayside. But it's that simple, right? And if you look at every possible situation through that lens, I think you'll be better for it. So that's what I would probably tell Hayden Deegan. Not that he cares what I think, but I, you know, all this distraction around him is not good. Like, there's nothing, there's no upside from all this distraction. Cody Shock, I mentioned last rider, actually not the last rider, but, you know, hopefully he'll be back soon. He already had surgery, already starting rehab. So I don't think he'll be out all that long. I was very confused. If you listen to the race recap, you probably heard me mention this, but I saw Cody at dinner after the race Saturday night, and I was like, wait, what? And then I saw him on the airplane on Sunday, and I'm like, I am wildly confused about what I'm looking at here. So he wasn't in very much pain, and the break was like kind of sustainable and not causing him incredible discomfort, or he's just the toughest SOB alive. Because he didn't look like he was hurting all that bad, and I was thoroughly confused. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, let's hope he's back soon, because he's really been riding well. And yeah, I would love to see how this kind of story ends. Pierce Brown, not really anything to talk about other than his results in 5-5-5-4. That is wild. I mean, he is another rider you never think consistency. He crashes way too much, or has over the course of his career. But 5-5-5-4 is not that bad, right? And it's kept him in the championship fight. So I do think if he wants to be champion, if he thinks he's going to end up being the champ of the series, he's going to have to win. You know, that's what, you know, you've heard me say that before, but he's been pretty solid. Like, he's hanging in there. So let's see what PB39 can end up doing here. So next up are the power rankings. But before we do, let's once again thank our great sponsors, Pirelli Tires. They got the win. NMXGP, Jorge Prado won on Pirelli Tires down in Argentina. Guts Racing, check them out. Seat covers for all sorts of power sports, e-bikes, betas, Sarans. They got it. If you need it, they got it. So check out Guts Racing. Plum Creek Funding, You know, they sponsored the Moto 60 show too, and I heard Steve, I had to laugh because I heard Steve doing an ad for Zach at Plum Creek Funding. He's like, you know, rates aren't that bad. You should, you know, if you got a refinance, you should call Zach. And I'm just like dying inside because that is not, that's not the case, right? Like nobody's refiing right now. Like if you are refinancing right now, someone has a gun to your head, or I don't know, maybe you had an arm, like a 5-year arm, and you don't have a choice. But I was just dying because Steve is not that financially affluent, right? Like I try to talk to him about stuff. He doesn't know all that much. It's just not his thing. That's okay. It is my thing though. I love this stuff. So when I hear, yeah, go refi your house, rates are not terrible, I just like super facepalm. But the simple answer is people are buying houses. People are relocating. Families are growing. There are people buying houses all over the place. They don't have a choice. You know, life is forcing them to buy a house, and it doesn't matter what interest rates are. So in that scenario, you want to make the best decisions possible. And in that scenario, you want to reach out to Zach Morris to get the best help. He's going to be able to give you the best advice. So that's what I would tell you. Reach out to Zach. Don't think you're getting a deal on refi. That is not why you're reaching out to Zach. It would be for buying a house and understanding what your best options are for that scenario. Concept Coatings Design Co., whether you need Cerakote, anodizing, laser engraving, full bike build, whatever you may need for your motorcycle, if you need a place to have a full race shop setup, whatever it may be, Concept Coatings Design Co. can help you. Go on their Instagram. If you need me to connect you with them, no problem. But what a great company, and they do some really, really trick stuff. Go on their Instagram and check out all the stuff they've been doing for Destin Cantrell and all these trick parts, Kevin Moran's and others. They do some awesome work over there. Works Connection, again, all sorts of cool new parts. Get that purple Pro Launch Start device if you have the new Yamaha, like Steve Mathis does. ProGo Wash, what more can I say? Power Sports Formulated Wash, why would you use anything else? TL Speed Shop, based in Wickenburg, Arizona. Great one-stop shop for your side-by-side adventure needs. You can fly into Phoenix, and they're just right up the road, and they have you dialed from start to finish. You don't even need anything. They have you absolutely covered. And Grantstone boots. I wore my Grantstone sneakers about 15 minutes ago to dinner. And what a great product. Great people. I'm actually going to see Grant. Why do I always say that? Grant. His name is not Grant. The company is Grant. I'm going to see Wyatt in Indianapolis this weekend, bringing the family down. And that's what's cool about all these sponsors. They're motocross people. I get to see them at the races, right? Wyatt Gilmore, full motocross guy. His company has nothing to do with motocross, but they build badass shoes and boots. So check them out. Go to GrandstoneShoes.com, and last but not least, Fly Racing. So thank you for listening to all the sponsors. Please check out their great companies. But what we're here for is to talk about the 450 class, the power rankings. That's what we're going to talk about. And number 10 is Malcolm Stewart. And I don't know what the hell's going on with Malcolm. He has looked better in the heat races, I guess, but the results aren't quite there. So I don't know what to make of it. You know, is this just business as usual, and that's where the field is now? I know he can go fast. I saw it. I saw it in the heat race. Like, he can absolutely rip, but the main event results are just not there. They're not coming yet. So he sits at number 10, and I don't really have a case to move him higher than that. Like, I don't have any evidence that he should be higher than that. Number 9 is Dylan Ferrantis, and that was his second DNF of the year. I saw him crash, and I had him on my fantasy team, so I was wondering what the deal was. Like, get up, let's go. Because I was hoping he could get back and give me some points, but I don't know if something happened to the bike when he crashed or what, but he pulled off and, exit stage left for Dylan Ferrantis in the main event. So he's at number 9, and it's certainly not about this weekend. It's more about the body of work over the course of the season. He has been a consistent top 10 guy, and so I'll keep him at number 9 for now, but he did get jumped. He got, what's the word I'm looking for? Can't think of the word, but he got jumped by Justin Cooper, and Justin Cooper's really coming on right now. Top 5 this weekend, really great ride. You know, now I think he's figuring this thing out. You know, you look at his starts, they're getting better. He's getting more comfortable at the pace. He doesn't look intimidated by these guys anymore. And that's what you want to see. You want to see him becoming one of those guys, one of the crew, one of the 450 elite, right? When Sexton comes up on him, He's not thinking, I got to get this guy right away. Like, he shouldn't be in front of me. He shouldn't be in my way. That's how they were looking at Justin Cooper at the beginning of the season. And over time, if you consistently put yourself in the races with them, especially for the entirety of them, they stop looking at you that way because you have proven yourself that you belong. And that's a rite of passage. You know, that is earned territory, and that reputation and that respect is always earned and never given. And I see Justin Cooper getting there. You can just see it happening right in front of our eyes. So great job by Justin Cooper. He's doing the damn thing. So nice work from him. AP is number 7, and nothing really to write home about. You know, I was wondering if the weather would kind of open up an opportunity for him to make things interesting, but I never really noticed him, to be honest, in the race. Like, he was kind of hanging out back there, not doing a whole lot, wasn't terrible, wasn't great. It was just kind of one of those nights. He was almost invisible, and that's not fair. I understand, but I'm watching the race very closely. You know, it's my job. And I really didn't notice a whole lot with AP in the main event. Number 6 is Jason Anderson. And, you know, he got, I think, 5th, right? 6th. But he passed Tomac late, which was really the story. Because he got I don't know if he crashed, but he got a bad start and was moving forward. And to pass Tomac late like that is, yeah, that says something, right? Tomac's notoriously strong late in the race. And Jason Anderson was simply better. So, you know, Jason Anderson's let this championship get away from him. We all know that. And I think it's just all out everything you've got to try to win a race now. That, to me, that should be the only goal. It should be the only thing circled on the whiteboard is find a way to get a race win before this season is over. And he can do it. He has the speed. He has the talent. Everything is in place to do it. He's just got to execute. Now, it's not going to be easy. Guys all in front of him are going to make life very hard for him. But I do believe he is absolutely capable of making it happen sometime before this 2024 Monster Energy Supercross Series concludes. Number 5, Ken Roczen, back on the podium. And you look at the track conditions, it's not shocking. But I think for him to kind of move forward and make passes and get there was a little surprising because he's usually a front runner. You know, like, he'll start up front, and if he hangs around up front, he usually stays there, at least on the podium. He doesn't often come from behind and climb into those positions. So I'm here for it. It's great to see. It's just a little atypical for his MO. He's more of the start up front and work his way backwards or stay up front versus start backwards and move forward. That's more of a Tomac Webb type dynamic, right? So just a little sidebar there. Number 4, Eli Tomac. And I think this is kind of like the back end of the championship. You know, like, I thought it was 4 guys going in to Birmingham. Now it might be 3 with Tomac kind of falling off the back a bit. And that was not a good weekend, right? He needed to build and continue the momentum he had. He was trending the right direction. 2 runner-up finishes in a row. The points were not, you know, he wasn't like within striking distance yet, but he was hanging in there. And that's what I thought was so critical. Hang in there, give yourself a shot late. And a result like this really kind of takes the air out of the balloon a bit. And I'm sure he's sitting there this week going, damn it, now what? You know, like, now you have to basically win races repeatedly. You know, that's really all there is left to do. I'm not saying he can't do it. It's just that the equation has changed significantly in one race. And I didn't see that coming. You know, you look at the heat race, he was great, he wins it. Even though Jet was closing on him, he still rode really well. And then he blew the start and he couldn't get around Barcia, and that was all she wrote. And that might be all she wrote for this championship. I hate to say it, but it certainly might be. Now, number 3, Chase Sexton, I think is still in it. You know, I think he's 20 points down. I'm not looking at it. I could pull it up right here, but that sounds right to me. Bear with me. This is great radio, I know. Yep, 20 points down. I was right. I don't know why I'm gloating to myself. But anyway, he's still in it, I think. But it can't keep going this direction. Like, he's got to find a way to beat Jet. And stop me if you've heard that before, because I've been saying it since last summer. But he can't rely on Jet to make a mistake and beat him, right? Like, he's got to step up and beat him one-on-one. I don't know if he can. That's the problem. I don't know if he can do it. he hasn't shown us he can. I know he's beaten him at times, right? But it's typically been Jet making a big mistake, crashing, starting 15th, something, you know, to really change the setup. You know, we haven't seen Chase pass yet. We haven't seen them start 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that, and Chase just straight up beat him. We've never seen that, you know? And so until I see it, I'm inclined to believe that it's not going to happen. And of course, well, I shouldn't say of course. That's probably not right to say. Eventually, you've got to think Sexton's going to figure out a way to get it done at least once, but maybe not. Maybe not. You know, I don't know, man. This thing is, it's really starting to take on a life of its own. And these trends where Chase doesn't know if he can beat Jet anymore, and Jet is damn sure that he can beat Chase every time, the more they happen, the harder it is to break that cycle. They become reinforced. Both parties believe them more, and it just solidifies. And then it's more and more difficult to break out of. So that's what I'm seeing, is Jet doesn't fear Chase at all, and Chase is probably getting an inferiority complex. I'm completely speculating, but that's psychology. That's sports psychology and how these things go. So it's just something to pay attention to. But Sexton's falling off the back here. 20 points is no joke. And it, you know, you let Jet win again this weekend, it gets a full race, and you start looking at, is this thing over yet? Number two, Cooper Webb. And similar but different, right? The points aren't quite as bad. He's 13 down. Nothing is lost. But Webb's riding really well. You know, he kept Jet in sight. But the question is, can he, in that scenario, go up and catch Jet and make the pass, right? Because everything I've seen so far, everybody's benefiting from Jet's mistakes and not able to take the fight to him. That's what, and it might be the only way that people are going to beat this kid, is stepping up their game and going up and taking the fight to him. And that's easier said than done. I damn sure couldn't do it. But I know enough about the sport, and I've been watching it my whole life. I know what the scenarios are and how these guys view each other. Jet is fearing these guys less and less, right? And what that means is, when he's under pressure, when he's under duress, or he has a 3-second lead, he's going to be more and more comfortable. The odds of him making the critical mistake are going to come down, because his heart rate's going to be lower, his worry's going to be less, his stress is going to be less, right? Because the first couple times, you've got Cooper Webb sitting back there, 2, 3, 4 seconds back, and you're at the halfway mark, you're like, oh crap, this is what he does. He's going to reel me in. He's going to strike late, and there's going to be nothing I can do about it, because that's what we've come to see from Cooper Webb. Well, the more times that Jet Lawrence can defy that and kind of turn the tables the other way and hold Webb off and prove to Webb, not to me, or not, you're not doing that to me. I know you did that to Roxanne and whoever. That's not how our relationship is going to go, our racing relationship. It's not going that way, pal. And it's the same thing with Sexton. The more time something happens, the more it gets solidified. And I would say the same thing. If Webb is a couple seconds behind Roxanne, those two know. It's going to be in the back of Roxanne's mind the whole time. It's like, oh crap, I got this guy to deal with. And Webb's going to be going, I'm going to get this guy. Like, I got to hit my marks. I've got to do everything in my power to do it. And it's going to work, because it always does. And it, you know, so it's a pendulum swinging both directions with solidifying things that you've seen and things you expect and the trends in those racing dynamics. So just interesting, you know, it's racecraft and it's sports psychology, and there's a lot of things all kind of coming together, converging there. Number one, is Jet Lawrence. And I really think that the series and the sport, it's getting to a little bit of a scary spot. And if you are a guy who wants to see parity, you want to see competitiveness, you want to the gate to drop and not know who's going to win every time, which we've gotten for a lot of 2024, this is a scary place to be, in my opinion, because we are on the precipice. If things continue, we're on the precipice of Jet taking a stranglehold of this sport. And nothing is certain. I'm not saying that this is definite. I'm not. because a lot of things can happen. Injuries, crashes, other riders get better, you know, lots of things, variables. That's what racing is. That's what sports are. But when you look at how did Jeremy McGrath get on a roll and dominate? How did Ricky Carmichael get on a roll and dominate? How did Ryan Villopoto get on a roll and dominate? It looked just like this. That's my point. That's what is scary about this. They figure things out. They understand how to not make the mistake. They have such a big speed edge, and they're simply better than everyone around them, that once they figure out how to eliminate the mistakes, what the hell are you going to do about it? You can't, no one can stop them anymore. Not consistently. Yeah, here and there. Great. Yeah, you grabbed a win. That's awesome. But week after week after week, if they let it go this way, Jet's just going to keep coming and they won't have an answer for him. So I'm just a bystander, just like all you are. I'm just telling you, this is how when you watch something develop and a superstar take the stage and run away with the sport for an extended period of time, this is what it looks like. I've seen it before. I've seen it several times before. And this is the dynamic. They've shown you that they can be better than everybody. But when they figure out how to bring that level every single time without the variance of the mistakes, they're off to the races and nobody can do a damn thing to stop them. So that's it for this week. Just keep an eye out for Jet, because I'm not saying it's going to happen. He could go out there and bust his ass this weekend and everything comes apart and I look stupid. I'm just telling you, I've seen this look before. I can see it in his eyes that his confidence is growing and he knows he's figuring this out. And once he doesn't fear these guys anymore and doesn't really respect the fact that they can be as good or beat him, it's really hard to knock him off that pedestal. A kid with this much ability. And he's so young and he's not even in his prime yet. That's the thing, right? He's going to get better, stronger, mentally, physically. The entire package is still coalescing. We're nowhere near peak Jet yet, in my opinion. And this is what it looks like. So anyway, thanks everybody. We will talk to you next week after Indianapolis. If you like the podcast, you know, let me know. Social media, you can email me. If you have questions, my personal email is jason36@aol.com. If you have suggestions, don't be a jerk, please. Like, I'm giving you my personal email. You know that I don't think many people would do that. But I do want to hear from you. I want to hear what you want to talk about or hear about. And yeah, so let me know. Thanks again. And we will talk to you soon. See you.